Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. Happy Wednesday to you. So here's a deep question for you. Ready? What are you worried about today? What are you worried about today? Well, Jane Rubietta joins me first hour to talk about how to worry less so that you can live more. Great hour up ahead for you. She's going to come on in just a minute to share some surprising simple ways that you will feel more peace, joy, and energy. And you may wonder about the energy piece, but know this. There's a direct connection between the extent that you worry and the energy that you enjoy and even the health that you enjoy. And so after that, Bill and Pam Farrell will join me second hour to talk about the danger and the impact of running parallel lives in marriage, where you're running fast side by side, but you're not necessarily connecting with each other. We're going to talk about the impact of that, the ripple effect of that, and how to remedy that so that you don't hit a wall or come to a place in your marriage you never saw coming. So, but if you struggle with worry, this next hour is for you. And I'm always pretty honest about my own battles at times with worry and fear. And I'm telling you what, just made the mistake last night of watching too much of the news. I went to bed not only concerned for our nation, but actually worried about our nation. Went to bed not only concerned for my brothers and sisters in Christ, but actually very worried about them. Then this morning, I had a dentist appointment to fix 3 teeth, a broken crown, and 2 big fillings in my molars. I know this is too much information, but all that to say, amidst all of this drilling in my mouth and the anxiety in my heart, I mean, I'm trying to focus and I'm listening to music and taking deep breaths. I hear this particular song in my ear. It's titled Majesty of the Most High by Matt Redman. We had him on about a week or a week and a half ago, something like that. I'm going to play that song in just a moment, just in case you need a reset. I sure did. Right in the midst of that dentist chair, which is like, I have major dental anxiety. I don't know about you, but my gut was tied up in knots. My heart was tied up in knots. And I heard this song and it was like, for that moment, I looked above it. And whatever it is that's bugging you today, whatever thoughts are like derailing your perspective, I'm just inviting you as my brother, as my sister, in the next few moments, look above them, okay? Look to Jesus, because he is the author and he's the perfecter of your faith and mine, and he will finish what he started in us, and he will finish what he started in the ones that we love as well. So before I bring Jane on, I want you to hear this song, but before you hear this song, I want you to hear an excerpt from Jane's book, Worry Less So You Can Live More. We've got a few copies to give away. She writes, I find myself praying the Lord's Prayer, daily bread, thy will be done. And this prayer reminds me to be watching for that daily bread, for the dailiness of God's faithfulness, for the provisions that show me God is watching out for me and for those I love. But I also find that this discipline, this praying deliberately, the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, does more than just tamp down my worries. This prayer totally redirects my gaze away from worry and fear and towards the one who provides. Now, hear this song from Matt Redman, Majesty, and I just pray it ministers to your soul. Whatever it is that's bugging you right now, look above it and look to the one who is the author, he's the perfecter of your faith, and he's the one who says, don't worry. I know you have reasons for worry, but don't. Look to me instead. I pray you enjoy this song, and then we'll bring Jane on.
I will wait for you in the morning light. My song will rise to give you glory. Draw me near to you. Captivate my heart and open up my eyes to see your majesty. Fill my heart with your pure light, the majesty of the Most High. I'm overwhelmed by your holiness, the wonder of amazing grace. I bow beneath the majesty. Majesty of the Most High God. Cast all my cares down at your feet. You meet me here with tender mercy, and everything you are is everything I need. I lift my hands, surrender to your Majesty. Fill my heart with your pure light, the majesty of the Most High. I'm overwhelmed by your holiness, the wonder of amazing grace. I bow beneath the majesty of the Most High God. Those who
everything I need, Lord. Just remind your soul that everything He is everything that you need. And those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. Well, as I mentioned, Jane Rubietta joins me first hour today to talk to us about how to worry less so that we can live more. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Jane Rubietta is a critically acclaimed author of 15 books, including Grace Points and Quiet Places. She travels and speaks hundreds of times a year at women's events and writes on a regular basis for Indeed, Mom Sense, and Fulfill. She and her husband, Rick, live near Chicago, and you can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Jane, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Susie. It's always good to be with you.
And with you. And love for you to just comment on that setup in the song and just how it maybe spoke to you.
Well, I love the even as you led into it with just looking above, looking beyond, looking around. And when he said, lift your hands, I lift my hands and surrender to your majesty, what we're really doing, worry takes the center of our lives. It takes the middle. It just occupies the middle of us. And he's saying, Matt Redman is saying, the scriptures are telling us to displace worry at the center of your life and look at me. Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying.
Beautiful.
Meet my eyes. If we can meet Jesus' eyes in some form or another, it's really hard to worry when you're looking in those eyes.
Indeed. Indeed. So good, Jane. Appreciate that. Wondering if there's a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days, or even a life verse you can share with us as we start to dig into the conversation.
I continue to just sort of hang out with Romans 5, 1 through 5, where Paul is talking about, you know, how one hard thing leads, it's about character formation and, but ultimately how it is all, everything that we're going through, the things that we worry about, the difficulties that we face, everything builds us up, and therefore we have hope because God continues to pour his love into us through Christ Jesus. And so that whole idea of hope, it feels like the opposite of worry to me. Mm-hmm. And so to just look at those things and you know, watching the news last night, thinking about what you said, hope displaces worry. So what are we hoping for, you know?
Yeah. So good. You know, for those who didn't hear our first conversation on this book, Worry Less So You Can Live More. And just by the way, we've got a few copies from the publisher, and I endorsed this book. In fact, I wholeheartedly endorsed this book because I got a sneak peek at it before it hit the shelves and just love it. But Jane, for those who didn't hear that first conversation, you know, as a fellow author, you know how these books come to us. I want to know how the book and the idea of worry was something you decided to write on, because it's gutsy. It's a gutsy thing to do.
Well, it feels like one of my most vulnerable pieces, honestly, Susie.
Yeah, me too.
Because, the longing, it was actually the longing that began to make me realize that worry was the thing that was halting that. But this longing to live in God's delight, I started to experience that longing, but not the reality of God's delight. And it was that sort of what is that about that made me realize. I started tracking in my journal, and I started realizing every single day I'm worrying. It is just this ever-present thing in my life. And golly, it talk about destroying you, but also it's very extremely hard on your relationships.
Indeed.
But when I began to just say, so wait a minute, if you're really longing for delight, then what is this worry about, and how do you work around that? Because the things that we could worry about will never leave.
Isn't that the truth? And as the days get more evil, there probably will be more to worry about. And yet Jesus, knowing that, still said, you know, to cast all of our cares on him. And appreciate your honesty about that. And I'm always very honest about it too. It's just something. It's like my wheel bends that way and I got to pull that thing back over and over again. But we're not alone in this, because as you've traveled around in conferences, you meet plenty of men and women who struggle the same way. In fact, you said after just talking and having so many conversations, you asked this question in your book, where have our hopes disappeared? Whatever happened to the joy of our salvation? It has vanished in our drooping economy, our drowsy spirits, and our often dreary churches. I just want you to say a little bit more about some of the common causes of worry that you're seeing across the board as you travel around the country.
I think worry is, we can probably sum it up in just a handful of ways. We worry about our finances. We worry about our future. We worry about our family. We worry about our friends. And then a lot of fiddly stuff thrown into sort of a, you know, the junk box that we keep moving with us every time we move. But I think everything kind of falls underneath those categories. And we'll never run out of the possibility of worry, because it is a hard world that we live in. But what I began to see was that I bet I've met about 1% of the people I've met don't worry. And frankly, Susie, I just don't believe them.
I was going to say, who are these people? Why can't I talk to them?
That's right. It's like the people who have perfect children. I'm like,
right.
Really?
Yes.
Let me come visit sometime,
exactly.
Surprise you. And so then to just begin to drill down into that, you know, like, what is the root of worry? What is underneath all of these other things that we, you know, even these categories, they're all F words, in case you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there a common denominator under all of that? And what is that? And because I think if we can get down to that level, then we can begin to figure out a workaround, because it's got to be possible because Jesus said, you know, don't do it.
For that reason alone, it's got to be possible.
There's got to be a way.
Well, you talk about in the book about a dear friend who asked you about your workload, and then she asks you this question, Jane, do you think God wants to meet your needs? And it was one of those startling questions that sort of stopped you in your tracks. Give us the context of where you were at in that time and then what God did in that place.
Oh, well, just sort of an overwhelming, I mean, I feel like I run on, easily I run to overload. You know, my list gets too long and my responsibilities get so big and blah, 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 just like everybody listening today. And so here's this deeply godly woman. I mean, she is just, and she says, don't you think, do you think God wants to meet your needs? And I'm like, oh, duh, really? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Well, golly, I think, I mean, it was really one of those, yes, but really? And our default is to just, our Sunday school answer is, of course, but then what is the problem here, Jane? Well, I don't think God really loves me that way. Maybe. You know, or maybe it's that we know that God is God. Pretty much we know that. But when it comes to all of the specifics of our lives that are so very, very hard, we're not so sure God cares enough about us to fix those things or to tend them. And so it's really this huge faith. It was a huge faith thing for me. It was really a watershed time.
Well, Jane, I've something that I feel like God is continuing to teach me, and he teaches me on a deeper level. Like you said, we have these Sunday school answers where we read things in Scripture, and we've read them 1,000 times, so we feel like we know them because we know them to a degree. And then maybe we start to read them for other people. Oh, so-and-so could use this, or I wish my son would get this truth, or whatever. And something God's been bringing me back, just saying, right now, don't read the Word for anybody but yourself, and if you think you know it, I want you to know it on a deeper level. Stop here. Know it on a deeper level. And I'm just telling you, it is just revolutionizing my faith and my prayer life because there are so many things we give a nod to, we say we agree with. But I feel like that conversation for you was the Lord saying, I want you to know this, Jane, on a deeper level. Do you really, really, really think I'm going to meet your needs? Because at the core of our angst and our fear and our worry is a certain unbelief around the goodness and the provision of God, isn't it?
I think so. I absolutely do believe that that's the case for me. And we see so much of the opposite around us that and God is so intangible. It's not like, you know, God actually has a face all the time and so that we can actually see. So it's so much easier to believe what we see around us than it is to just hunker down and say, this is what God says. Okay, you know. And I was always comparing, you know, Jesus tells us don't worry, and then you go to Paul, be anxious for nothing, and I've learned to be content in all things. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, but we're talking about major disasters for him. You know, we're talking about snake bites and shipwrecks and, you know, being beaten within an inch of his life and dropped over walls. We're talking about really, you know, so do I believe God? I mean, I think God will take care of me in those kinds of really bad situations. But do I really? So, yeah.
So then what changed for you when that friend asked you that question and you were sort of stopped in your tracks because you know Scripture enough to know, yes, that's true, and you could teach on it and do a whole retreat on it.
Sure.
But is here again, he's saying, but do you know it on a deeper level? Do you really know it? And that's the question for us. What changed for you after that? How did you press in to know that he will meet your needs on a deeper level?
Well, I started to listen to what some of those needs actually are. And the superficial needs that we would tend to identify are rarely the real needs, the deep needs, you know. And that longing for safety and security, those are longings, those are needs that we rarely address. And what God began to invite me to do was to trust him when I go to work every morning, you know, to trust him every time I pick up the phone, to trust him, you know, tangibly, to just say, I'm going to trust you here. I believe that you will meet my needs in this place. And it was about, really, I guess, mindfulness, being mindful of God's presence in me, kind of like take Jesus to work day. Okay, take Jesus home day, you know, where, like, we're Zacchaeus all over again. Wouldn't that be something?
Mm.
That has really helped me, and even now I continue to try to remember to do that. I can't say that I've conquered worry. Obviously, I can't say that at all. My husband every day prays, and Lord, help us to worry less and live more this day.
Love that. Take Jesus to rush hour traffic day, you know?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, we all have our triggers, so I think it's really smart for us to identify maybe the things that we are especially susceptible to worry, isn't it?
Yes, I think we have to do that if we really want to make sure worry doesn't have a grip on us, but rather that Jesus does.
Another thing I've been thinking about, Jane, is, I mean, God is so patient with us as we are works in progress. I marvel at the things that I don't know that I'm going to realize I didn't know 10 years from now, and yet he still was patient with me today. But I realize, you know, we come to him, he says, come to me with all of your concerns, and yet so many of our concerns are based out of an unbelief or a forgetfulness of his past faithfulness. I'm just realizing for me that any answer that I'm seeking is an answer in itself, and it may be relief from my circumstances, but what I find in him, even before the answer comes, what if I manage to find it in him, is 10 times what the answer is. Do you know what I'm saying? And yet we live in this perpetual cycle of need, of want, of prayer, of relief, and he so patiently walks with us. But speak to that, if you would, just a moment, about our invitation, I think, to know God in the not yet season. So before there is a guarantee about how the finances may shake out, or the job may shake out, or your husband, if he's going to stay or leave, is there joy to be had here without the promise that'll tie up in a nice, tidy bow? What do you say?
Well, boy, there better be that promise for right now, because otherwise we're just all in trouble.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. And what I love, I was noticing the context of this. It's in Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus says, when you give, and then 5 verses later, when you pray, and then 11 verses later, when you fast, and then he says, therefore, don't worry. Wait. Don't store up stuff do not store up treasures for yourself on earth. And I think so much of our worry is about our treasures on earth, whether it's our people or our finances or, you know, our self-esteem, or, you know, which is, I think, highly overrated. But Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. I'm going to take care of your needs this day. That's what that whole passage is. And if we can just focus on today, worry is always future. It is never right now.
Good word. Good word.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on Nagame Abedini's prayer team as we pray for her husband. And one of the things when she was on the show, she said is before this whole thing happened where Saeed was arrested, she always was afraid of suffering for her faith. And I appreciate her saying that because, again, those are fears that we, I think, can all relate to. But she has found in her suffering a grace and a power in Christ that she never knew was even available. And I think if we spend our lives trying to bypass hard situations, if we spend our lives in self-preservation versus living more, as you talk about, we will miss the grace that's going to be there on the road for us. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I think safety has become an idol.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that in this day and age, that's particularly dangerous. And I think it's just, when I look at the context of the New Testament, I think it's just is laughable. They were not thinking about safety. I mean, Jesus did say, you know, try to blend in. You're gonna be a sheep amongst all the wolves. So, you know, don't draw undue attention to yourself because you want to get through this. But the idea of just trying to keep yourself safe was just ludicrous.
Hmm. Well, we need to take a short break here. I'm talking to Jane Rubietta. We've got a few copies of her book, Worry Less So You Can Live More, Surprising Simple Ways to Feel More Peace, Joy, and Energy. And I'll tell you something about worry that I've learned as a expert worrier, is sometimes you need friends to stand with you to get you untangled, unstuck. So if you're there today, Jane and I would love to pray with you. And if you want to call anonymously, you sure can. We've got four copies of this great book. And she's a beautiful writer, so you'll enjoy her wordsmithing as you get good content out of this great book. Worry Less So You Can Live More, Surprising Simple Ways to Feel More Peace, Joy, and Energy. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking about worrying less so we can live more. Would love to stand with you today. Call us if you need to. 877-93-FAITH. Back in a moment. Before me, my guardian. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to my friend Jane Rubietta about worrying less so we can live more. And here's the thing. We want so much relief from our circumstances, but God wants us to find joy and faith amidst the circumstances because He's better than we know, and He's even better than the answer that we're looking for. When He invites us not to worry, He didn't say because you won't have anything to worry about or your worries are ridiculous. He's asking us to dig deeper and to engage our faith because He's better than we know. And so I invited you to call, and you can call anonymously. If Jane and I can stand with you, if we can pray with you, we'd sure love to do that. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can call anonymously if you need to. We've got Diana checking in from Maple Grove. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good by the grace of God. Thank you.
Good. How can we stand with you today?
So I listened to the radio, and I heard the lady that invited talking about fear or worry. And, you know, to be honest, every day we all worry a little bit here and there. But to make a long story short, 3 years ago, I was having problems with headaches. And long story short, they told me to go see a therapist. Maybe it was an accident that I've been having injury from. And somehow the doctor finished with me and told me to leave. But I insisted to stay because I knew I wasn't feeling well. And somehow they told me they needed to look for the next patient, so I have to leave. And so when I left, I went to the clinic. Instead of staying at the hospital, right, they have a little clinic inside the hospital. So I was sitting by the clinic, and before I knew it, I collapsed. The next thing I know, I was in the hospital. Finding out I had a brain aneurysm.
So oh, my goodness.
For the past 3 years, it's been a battle, but God is with us that I have been able to pull off with God, and the fear that I had before has gone, and I am overcomer. And so I'm telling to my brothers and sisters, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, them that you think about this worry? It's the devil that is putting all this little thought in your head. God is able to do the unable.
Yes, He's able to do the impossible, Diana. I don't know if you're on speaker, but if you are, if you cannot be on speaker, it makes it a little tricky to hear you. But Jane, did you want to say anything to Diana? I mean, she sounds like a brave soul.
I was having a hard time understanding everything, but it sounds to me like in the midst of impossible places, you have found God's impossible provision for you. And I rejoice in the fact that God's grace is sufficient in the hardest of places, and I would always wish that my brothers and sisters did not have to go through hard places to find that to be true, but how good it is because hard places are inevitable. So I'm rejoicing with you in God's sufficiency and overcomingness here.
Yes, amen. And Diana, thank you. You get a copy of Jane's book, 877-933-2484. 2484-877-933-2484, or email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. If you're in one of those places where you're worried and you're feeling stuck and you want to get unstuck, Jane and I would love to pray with you today. We've got a few more copies of her book, Worry Less So You Can Live More, to give away. So you tell a story in the book about a gal, her name isn't Melissa, but you name her that in the book, whose chin connected with her toddler's forehead, setting in motion a series of these scary health issues. That story was gripping to me. I would love for you to tell that story if you don't mind.
Well, it is a powerful story, and she, what happened for her in her body was that, I mean, she went from doctor to doctor, and they diagnosed her and misdiagnosed her until, and she ended up paralyzed. She was losing her sight. Here she has these little children. She's confined to a wheelchair. She's going blind. And finally, a doctor said, you don't have any of these other things. What you have, this is conversion disorder. And granted, it's a very severe form of conversion disorder. But what happens is, this is what happens with worry. But with conversion disorder, our bodies, our minds, our souls will get our attention one way or the other. And if we won't pay attention, then our bodies convert it into something that will get our attention. And so that's not to say that there aren't real medical issues going on, but conversion disorder is a wake-up to do some healing from the past. And I believe that so much of what we worry about, which is related to tomorrow and next week and, December, is triggered often by a lot of the unhealing of our past, the things that have hurt us in the past, which is what my friend Melissa found out, was that she had a lot of pain she'd never grieved. She'd had a lot of difficulties she'd never sorted through. But in the midst of that, then, as she began to trust God and began to do the hard work of emotional, spiritual healing, her body began to heal.
Absolutely amazing. And I think we're going to be amazed when we get to heaven and realize that there were times and places where our physical health was directly connected to our emotional health, and we didn't even realize it, you know?
Well, God is so smart.
Yeah.
I mean, why would we not think that? You know, we can't separate. We have those little diagrams that separate our soul from our will, from our body, from our mind. But, I mean, God just created this whole self for us, and it is all so connected. It makes sense to me that worry affects our health.
Amazing. 877-933-2484. Lori's calling in from Apple Valley, Minnesota. Lori, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Susie.
Hi.
Well, you hit the jackpot for the subject of the day. My story is kind of complicated and long, but the long and the short of it, through all these health issues that I've been struggling with, I've been plagued with anxiety, depression, and worry, and I'm grasping at anything that I can learn for God to help me with.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions for her, Jane, before we pray for Lori?
No, I mean, I think we can pray.
Okay, let's do it. Would you start, Jane?
Thank you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you know the journey that Lori has been on. You know where she's been. You know the pain that she carries within her. You know the things that her body is doing to get her attention. You know the doctor she's seen. You know all of this. But even more than that, God, you know her heart, and you know her deep longing is to live free. And I pray that you would, in this time and in this place, that you would center her in you, that you would lift her above all of the anxiety and the worry about her body and about her health and the fear that comes with that. God, that you would displace all of that, and that you would be at the center, that you would help her eyes meet yours, and that you would help her find ways to meet your eyes so that she can really live right now, regardless of what her body does next week, but that she can live right now in your presence, fully alive, like those disciples who faced such terrible things, fully alive.
And Lord, I agree, and I just pray for deep soul healing for Lori. And if there are things in her story that you want to help her untangle, and fears that you want to disarm, and the wounds that you want to heal, I just pray that you'd reveal those to her. And this would be an invitation to a deeper intimacy, Lord, that you would do a work in her she never even dreamed possible. You'd replace the lie and put the truth there. If there's chemical imbalance, I just ask God that you'd heal her in that, and that you'd restore the years the enemy has stolen from her. And we pray, and we believe, God, that her latter years will be far more blessed than her former years. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, dear Lori, for calling. You get a copy of Jane's book. You'll love it. Worry Less So You Can Live More. You know, sometimes we hear, Jane, people pride themselves on not being people who cry, like they've got a handle on their emotions. And what do you say about that?
I think we have a record in the scriptures, an astounding record in the scriptures of giants of the faith who cried buckets of tears. And so to imagine that tears are a sign of weakness is crazy, but we do. I mean, it's a societal thing. It's a Christian thing. But what I love is that God designed us for that. When I started studying tears, I started uncovering all this stuff I didn't know about them, is that, you know, that they're actually part of the excretory system, which, if you think of it, makes sense. And so they're excreting things your body doesn't need, and they found stress hormones in tears. So
wow.
When you actually cry, there are tears that release stress hormones, cortisol. It's an amazing thing. So tears are one of the ways that we can relieve stress. It's one of the ways that worry can leak out of us and leave us. You know, and when you think about physiologically what those tears do, even just in terms of the bacteria in your eyes, you know, you get an eyelash in your eye, your eyes start watering. Well, that's part of it. It's trying to excrete. It's trying to get rid of that. It's trying to cleanse. And tears will do that for us if we will just pay attention. I mean, God said, I'm storing those up in a bottle for you. That's how important they are.
And it implies that they're real and there's a place for them, you know. And men, for those of you who are listening who can't relate, I tell you tonight, cut up an onion and watch Return to Me. And between the two things, cutting an onion and watching Return to Me, you will cry and it'll be good for you. I'm just saying. Anyway, what does it mean to delight in God? Talk about that.
It's such a big thing, and that's what I was searching for when I started realizing that worry was stopping me from living in that place. And delighting in God is really, I mean, I don't know that we can sum it up, but when you look at this whole idea of delight, when you're delighting in, for instance, a grandchild, or delighting in a puppy, or delighting in the intricacy of a flower, it occupies your attention, and for God to delight in God has got to be that we are shifting our focus, just shifting our focus away from all the things that would steal our life. There's the thieves in our lives, and focusing on who God is in our lives, not even what God does in our lives, but who God is and how God loves us.
And you even say, foregoing delight is like an emotional vow of poverty based on a poor understanding of God. So again, it's not what he's doing for us, it is who he is to us. How does a person get there if that just seems like another language to them, thinking, I don't even know how to get there, I don't know what that means, but they're foregoing the delight because they don't even know what it is. How do you explain that?
Yeah, so just yesterday, I thought, I have got to get outside, I have to, I've been trying to walk and pray. I have a little prayer ring that I use, and it's goofy. It's just that, but I have ADD sometimes, and so it helps me. But at any rate, and I started saying, God, you know, I feel really lame. This whole praise part, this whole part about, I'm just being honest with you, this whole praise, and, you know, I'm not really very good at that. And I sensed God just saying, well, so just look around you. And so I started looking, and I felt like I was having an affair almost, because I looked at like this upturned mushroom. It was like this upside down parachute or umbrella. I looked at that, and I was just like, oh, and it became sort of this thing that redirected my gaze to God. And so I started just looking at all of the intricacies that God's created around me. And I moved into a place of delight that was a surprise to me. You know, and so noticing God's presence through the things God has made, through the people, through, you know, the sounds, the smells. I mean, sometimes you smell something and you invite your whole body to respond, you know, to those five senses. I mean, that's why we have them, I think, is so that we can be fully alive in the presence of God.
You know, one of my favorite things, Jane, is to ride my bike. I'm always talking about that. But riding my bike on trails that are just plush with trees and different kinds of plants after a rain, because the scents are so significant. And the way, I mean, I love just sail past them, but to take them all in, and they're all different plants, but the way that they come together and make their own fragrance, it's overwhelming to me that the detail that God attended to when he created our world. And it's just amazing to me. But I'm thinking, even with your prayer walk, that takes some intention, that takes some time. You're stepping off the rat race, you know, course to do something totally different. How connected would you say, Jane, is busyness to our tendency to worry?
Oh, I think it's intricately connected. I think it's, there's a song, worry. I ain't in no hurry.
Keep going. I don't.
I think it's the Doobie Brothers. So excuse me for my college preferences in terms of music. But I'm not in a hurry. I ain't got no worries because I'm not in no hurry, is how it goes. Hmm. And I think our busy lives have led us to worry because they have diverted our focus. We don't have time to pay attention. And going on a prayer walk, stopping to notice, stopping to say, hey, I am worried right now. What am I worried about, and what is true right now about who God is in my life? That all takes presence. It takes stopping and paying attention. But we're too busy to do that. And so I just read, what did I read? That the use of antidepressants has gone up over 400% in the last decade.
Wow. Absolutely. Amazing.
To say that there aren't medical reasons for all of that, I'll never tell you that. But I do believe our lifestyles contribute to our worry levels and to our inability to recognize and live in God's delight.
So good. You know, in my years ago, when I lived in that rat race, busy, run, hard culture, one of my reasons for worry, I realize now looking back, is when you're busy, running fast through life, you're skimming the surface. You're taking one shortcut after another. And I think part of the core of your worry, and my worry was then, you can't do that forever. It's not sustainable. And if you're taking shortcuts, doing the just get by thing, eventually the house of cards is going to fall down. And it's just no way to live. But I think some people are so caught into the rat race, they feel like there's no way out of it. What advice would you have for that person who's listening today going, well, that's me?
Yeah, that's where I live. So I guess I would just say, To stop and take stock, what is this costing you? We don't ask that question. What is my lifestyle costing me right now? And what is it costing my relationships with God, with others? And do I want to live my life this way anymore? And if the answer is, I don't want to pay that price anymore, then maybe just one thing at a time. Well, then I could change this one thing. Today I'm going to notice. You know, tomorrow I'll do something. We'll see what that looks like. But to take stock, to count the cost, and then to ask ourselves the hard questions, because nobody else is going to do it. This
That's
is
right.
culturally acceptable.
Exactly. This
Expected.
Is the culture. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I would say one of the first things you can do, and even if it feels like you can't, is get to bed on time tonight and tomorrow. And the next day, when you start to establish just a regular bedtime, that will start to balance the scales, because you can't even sort through things if you're deprived of sleep, you know?
Yeah, well, and you said scales, and they've traced all of, you know, weight gain and the lack of sleep. And, you know, I mean, we live in a nation that has a real serious weight problem. And, you know, you look at all this and then the residual health effects of all that. I mean, it's huge. Sleep is such a good idea. Talk to Pam Farrell when you get her on about sleep.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we have a listener who called or emailed and said, I have a son with autism and epilepsy, and his behaviors have rocked me over the years. But since Christmas last year, I've been filled with anxiety and fear about his behavior. I've prayed and prayed, and I'm on medication, but God seems so silent. I'm desperate to feel the peace of God. Oh, bless you, dear brother, for one thing. But to be in those places where you're crying out and God seems to, it seems like he's lost your address because the heavens are silent. That is another one of those places where you can be so prone to worry because it's so tangible. What advice do you have for this dear brother?
Well, when you think about, you mentioned earlier about the importance of having people in your life, and I wonder when you have a child who has special, who has, you know, critical needs, and you feel like you are it, the first thing that goes is your own care, the care of your own soul. I'm not even talking about physical care for yourself, but what would it look like for you to get a crew of people in your life who you know, it pray with you, who hold up your arms, who can offer some practical help? What would that look like for you? Because otherwise you are carrying it by yourself, and it's so hard to hear God's voice when and experience God's peace when you're so overwhelmed.
What about the fear of peace, Anand? I know you've talked about this before, Jane, and I have too. But for him to look ahead, I mean, it's so tempting to go, if this is what it's like now, what might it be like later? Especially with a special needs child, how do you navigate those fears of tomorrow? How do you do that?
Well, I'm not going to be trite, you know, and say, well, Jesus said, because that, you know, this is a very real concern, but I think developing those core relationships that can sustain you and your family. I don't know any other way around it besides, I mean, I know you're getting good medical care. I know you're getting, hopefully you're getting some good soul care for your child, you know, getting some good accountability for your child. I don't even know what all that looks like, but getting some people in your life to help you be practical about what tomorrow could look like and how to help that child when you're gone, for instance.
Yeah. And as tricky and hard as it is, I think, to not borrow the trouble. I mean, on a different level, I'm much, much different, much lighter load than what this listener's talking about. But just with the joint damage that I have from Lyme's disease, you know, when I was in my 40s going, what am I going to feel like in my 50s? Now I'm in my early 50s. What am I going to feel like in my 60s? I can't let my mind go there because I have to be present. It's the bread of presence that you were talking about. Be present in the now. Enjoy what I can do now. And I think that that takes utter discipline to not borrow tomorrow's trouble, don't you think?
Yes, right. To figure out how you can live right now, that's really critical for you and your child, for you and your, if you're married, if you have other people in your family, it's very tempting to have the child with special needs be the centerpiece, and that will stop you from living. It also stunts all the other relationships, so...
How about this? How about you make a distinction for us between worry and concern? Because some may feel that they're being responsible by worrying, but truly they're diminishing themselves and depriving their lives by worrying. So if you can make a clear distinction between a healthy, responsible concern about something and then a destructive worry over something.
Well, I'm not sure there's a huge difference between concern. I mean, there's sort of a spectrum. I'm so burdened for so-and-so, which is, of course, the spiritual thing to do is a burden for someone. And then I'm concerned, and that's still socially pretty acceptable and expected. But I'm not sure that any of those are not, those are not long-term sustainable. Your concern, your burden, your worry, none of those are intended to be long-term weights you carry. Cast your cares on God. Find other people to bear your burden with you. We're not supposed to do this by ourselves. So the spirituality of a concern, all of those things need to be leading us to God.
Excellent.
Take him to God.
I'm going to read one more excerpt from your book and have you just speak to it, and then we might have to pray. I might be able to squeeze in one more question, but love this. You said a tape measure is not our bottom line. Our lives are measured more like liquid, which expands to fill its container. Every single day, our job is simply to live well in the space we occupy in this world. To live well in our body, however, ample the hips or small the bust line, to fill the space that is us, to fill it to the brim. Though our worries weigh us down, Scripture compares these to mere feathers or flakes of snow. They blow away in the wind and melt in the sun when compared to the celebration that's coming. And then you reference 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Such powerful passage. Just speak to that whole idea of filling that space now.
If worry takes us to the future, hope takes us to heaven. And so if we can just keep focusing on the hope that we have, that Christ is victorious, and that has become a trivial, trite thing to say, but Christ has already won that victory. And so to live with hope is to live looking for him every single day. Maybe you're on the roof looking for him to come back, or maybe you're looking along the sidewalk for a handprint, you know, whatever it is. Our light and momentary afflictions, ask God to take these worries, these things that are hurting you now, and have them shape you and to redirect you toward him.
Excellent. I just have to read one more excerpt from this beautiful book. Scripture tells us that Christ in us is our hope of glory. That's how we fill the space well. We fill ourselves up to the brim with Christ. Day after day, when the worries threaten to strangle the tiny seeds of faith in our heart, we turn back to Jesus and open our hearts like a cup and invite him to pour himself into us. All those promises of filling, filled with fruit, with laughter and awe, with knowledge, with joy, with love, with hope. And I'm telling you, friends, this is what a lost world needs to see, is that joy and that hope and the way that we look up amidst a culture that's constantly looking down and looking to the right, to the left. We have a hope, and it's Jesus, and he's with us. And Jane, this has been so powerful. I always love talking with you. Would you pray for that person listening today who's just, and I get it, just stuck in the cycle of worry and fear?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that you have overcome this world, but we live here right now, and there are people who struggle so deeply with fear and worry, and that's all of us at some point or another. God, would you come to us now? Would you help us call out your name? Would you help us recognize your presence in our lives, and would you help us pay attention? Would you fill us with yourself and the hope that never ends, but always will lead us into your presence? And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, the one who has conquered death. Amen.
Amen, Jane. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie.
Always good to talk to you. Title of her book, again, is Worry Less So You Can Live More. By faith, not by sight. Let that be our goal. Should it be? I think it should be. So glad you tuned in. This was Hour 1 of Live the Promise. Coming up next, my friends Bill and Pam Farrell will talk about what happens when we as a couple run parallel lives, where you and your spouse get so busy doing life that you're facing ahead, not facing each other so much. The implications of that and how to remedy it. So don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.